Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you were there in where you are there. Where you are, there is no darkness. Your character has no shadows, and you are pure and good. Yet in our broken world, we see so much darkness around us, pain and sickness and disease. All of these are in our community and in many of our homes. Bring your light and restoring presence to the dark places in our lives. Bring your hope to our hearts that feel defeated. Bring your love and your compassion to those who are in pain. And give us faith to say with the psalmist, Lord, you light my lamp, my God illuminates my darkness. And so may your light shine in the darkness for families today. Show us glimpses of your presence with us and the comfort that you bring. In the busyness of today, help us to take a moment to be still and to sit with you, to slow down, breathe deeply, and release our burdens to your strong hand. You are trustworthy, good, and true, and we thank you for caring for us so deeply and beautifully. Open our eyes to see you at work today, and give us your light. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and God's people said, Amen. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our theme for this third week of midweek service in the Lenten season is called Light Shining in the Darkness. For we know that our Lord Jesus is the light of the world, who enlightens all who believe in him. His light is one that dispels sin and darkness, and it fills us with so much light and joy that we truly reflect his light to the world around us. You know, those themes of light and darkness are a very strong feature in the scriptures. As I was preparing for this message, I went into the back of my Bible and I looked up light and darkness. I wondered how many times in scripture we find those words. And it's amazing. There are 58 verses in scripture that have the word light in them. 19 of those are in the Old Testament, and not surprisingly, 39 are in the New Testament. And then we have 26 verses that in the scripture that have the word darkness in them. 7 in the Old Testament and 19 in the New Testament. Now, as you entered the sanctuary today, you probably noticed, I know some of you did, that the lighting in the church was dimmed. Basically, we had the candles on and the light on the cross. And of course, questions come up. Why is that? Well, I jokingly said we forgot to pay the electric bill and we're cutting back on some of our services. And then one of the members said, well, I'm going to sit in the back because when I got to get out of here fast in case something really does happen. When darkness encases us, we don't really know what to do. And I'll give you a prime example. It happened to me a couple weeks ago. In my home, our living room is upstairs, and we have a stairwell that goes downstairs to the basement, and then there's a door right next to it that leads into our laundry room. And so, as my habit in the evening is, everyone has gone to bed, and I usually stay up a little bit longer. And I made the mistake of turning out the lamp in the living room. And it was in complete darkness. And I thought, you know what? I haven't checked whether the garage door is closed or not. And so I began to approach that area where I thought I was. And the next thing I knew, I was falling down the stairwell. And I grabbed onto the ledge. And one of my boys that downstairs came running up, and my wife got out of bed. Are you all right? Oh, I'm fine. I'm just fine. And I felt very foolish. Well, the next morning when I could hardly get out of bed, I noticed that I had scraped my arm pretty badly, and, you know, the back was wrenched a little bit. Again, darkness. I turned the lights out, and bad things happened. And when we have less light, it's very eerie, and I remember it was eerie because I was feeling, you know, I knew where the wall was, and I knew where the couch was. Was I going to be okay? But I should. Hopefully you picked up a small candle this morning when you entered the church, and if you did not, I would encourage you to take one with you as you leave.
It is a reminder to us today of the light that Christ brings into our lives. And with that light, then we mirror that for Christ and we share that light with others that we come into contact. And so our theme today is light, and it's dominant in our readings. The Old Testament reading from Genesis, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, it says this, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light was good. And then what did he do? He separated the light from the darkness, and God called light what? And the darkness, night." In our reading then from John's Gospel, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. Not only was Jesus there when light was created at the beginning, but he also, God sent the light into the world, and that was his precious Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Redeemer. And now we are united with Christ, and that came to us once again through our holy baptism and faith, and we are also light in this world. Again, from Matthew, we hear these verses from chapter 5. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise not us, but our Heavenly Father." Because Jesus' connection is with us, St. Paul also says in our third reading from the Ephesians today, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord." So what are we to do? We are to live in that light, for the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, we are to expose them. It is shameful even to talk about things that are ungodly and about what people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." At one time, without God and the new life that we had in Christ, our life was dark and it was lifeless. But since Christ loved us and he gave himself as an offering for sin on that cross, all of our sin is washed away. We have been baptized into Christ by his light, and we are now light of the world. And as children of the light, then, we ought not be participating in deeds of darkness, but we ought to be exposing them. You know, this theme of light and darkness, it really is throughout all of Scripture. Throughout the rich history of the church, we've always recognized the significance of light, and we've made use of it in all of our worship services. Now, in the early church, after candidates were instructed in the faith, I found this very, very strange, or I could say very enlightening. When they were instructed in faith, they left a very dark room where they renounced Satan, and then entered a brightly lit room before they were baptized. Then after their baptism, they received a lighted taper. And I, you know, that's the first time I ever heard that. A taper, what's a taper? When I first looked it up, all it talked about was how kind of a haircut you get. You taper the sides, that can't be it. But a taper is a long, thin candle. Very well, and we use this particular item in our church services when we light the candles and when we extinguish those candles. And so those candidates were given a taper. They were there to light the candles and change that dark area into one that was brightly lit. And then after their baptism, they received something else. And we do that in our modern day church, as you well know. When we have a baptism, and I believe Pastor this Saturday or Sunday, we're having another baptism. And the candidates, whether they're adults or children, they receive one of these baptismal candles. And it is lit at the end of this, that particular part of the service. And here's what Pastor says. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is what? The light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. And that simple candle, dear brothers and sisters, signifies that Christ is the light of the world, and he dwells within those new baptized individuals, and he will be shining in their lights. And then I want you to notice something that's shining above me and behind me right here, to the right. Does anybody know what that is? Eternal what? Eternal light, eternal flame? Yeah. What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that, it's a symbol. It's God's presence is with us, and that light never goes out. Now, in the old churches, obviously, they use candles. And so Pastor had to be quick on his feet to make sure that those candles were always lit. This is an electric candle. And believe it or not, the last time we put batteries in that thing was several years ago, and it's still burning. And it stays on 24 hours a day, 365 days in the year. That is to remind us of the presence of God, and he is with us no matter where we are and for all time. But what about the people that may not be here? What about the many people who feel in this dark world that they are without a light? They're without hope. They're without peace. Outside these doors of this church, there is an immense darkness, a darkness that continues to try to strangle our world. This darkness blinds people from the truth and makes many feel hopeless and purposeless. It's the purpose of darkness to choke out light. And that is why St. Paul clearly says to us, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. What about us? How open are we to being exposed by the light of truth and God's word? Do we really want to expose our life under his bright beam? Often, I think we're like Adam, trying to hide from God who walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And it was not until God finally said to Adam, "Where are you?" that Adam faced that light. At other times, we're tempted to hide our light like Peter did, who denied the Lord in public. And that light was very dim at that time. None of us wants to be exposed with our sin, because that means that we must change and repent. Many people would rather run into the dark than to step into the light. But if we refuse that light of God, that is not very good. Our sinful nature is more comfortable in dark than it is in light. But my friends, God knows our hearts. He knows our adulterous thoughts. He knows how greedy we are at times. He knows how lustful we may be. And then there's always that word covetous, the things that we want. This is mine. And Jesus had a word for this. He called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs because they look great on the outside. But what about on the inside? He says they were like dead man's bones. And so this Lenten season, God is shining his light anew on each of us, our lives and our hearts. He exposes it all, not that we should run and hide from God, but so that we should die to our dark sin and graciously receive the light and the love and the forgiveness through Jesus' wounds and his words. He was the creator. He created light out of darkness, and he also calls himself the light of the world. Whoever listens to his word and follows him is no longer in the dark. And so to have Jesus as our light is to have all, including, most importantly, eternal life. And that is what Lent is about. It's more than about giving up some certain things like alcohol or sweets or television. Lent is about dying. It's about dying to our sin because Christ died for us and for all of our sins. Lent exposes our old life in order to bury us in Christ's tomb. It's buried there so that on Easter we may arise with him again, joyfully and in the light of his resurrection. Jesus is the true light, and he gives light to every person. And although his life was extinguished on the cross, and if you remember from Scripture, it was in total darkness, Jesus bore the full weight of this world's sin and the darkness that it produced in order to bring light to us and to the world. We know that Jesus was lonely, and he was forsaken by God, and yet, by such rejection, Jesus brought light and life to the world. And most importantly, he crushed the darkness of sin, death, and hell forever. You know, we light our Christ here in church, and I asked Dan to turn that light on this morning, and it reflects joy, it reflects love and mercy, because Jesus suffered to bring light and love. We hear from the prophet Isaiah, as he was inspired by the Lord, "Come, now let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool." From this cross, I want you to think about it today. We are reminded that cross shines a new beam. It pierces through our darkest and our most depressive thoughts, and it fills us with peace and joy and the light that Christ shines like the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. And like the moon, we reflect light to others. God's word does exposes all of our sins in Jesus Christ, but because of that, we are forgiven. And as his baptized children, we now walk as children of light, reflecting his light to others. My dear brothers and sisters, this day, Christ's light continues to shine. It shines through you, it shines through me, it shines through our actions, and also our words that we do every single day. And I encourage you this day then, let us receive Christ's light again, and may that continue to shine in our lives as we meet with our neighbors, our family, and our friends. Let our light shine for them, knowing that Christ died for them and that their sins are also taken away because of that precious and wonderful death. And so we close with this prayer. O Christ, our light and our salvation, comfort all of us this day and strengthen our faith. Heavenly Father, you have made us new people. You have made us new people through baptism. And now, most importantly, make us your lights in this world. We ask this in your precious Son's name, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.